From NPR and WBUR Boston, I'm Robin Young.
And I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. It's Here and Now. Coming up, we'll speak with a doctor at the Centers for Disease Control about the new MERS virus that originated in the Middle East and has a fatality rate of nearly 30%.
But first, that abrupt change at one of the country's leading newspapers. Jill Abramson, the first female executive editor of the New York Times, fired. And some wondering if this story is intersecting with others the paper usually reports on, pay inequity and the debate over bossy women. Publisher and Times chair Arthur Sulzberger Jr. told the newsroom yesterday he made the decision to oust Abramson because of an issue with management, but NPR and The New Yorker report that it came after she learned that her pay and pension benefits were considerably less than those of her predecessor, Bill Keller, something The New York Times disputes. And words like pushy and brusque are being used to describe her leadership. NPR media correspondent David Folkenflik sorts through this for us. David, start with this possible pay dispute. What do we know?
Well, according to associates of hers that I've talked to, about 3-4 weeks ago, she learned that the pay and compensation for her predecessor, Bill Keller, something of a mentor to her, had been what she felt was significantly greater than her own. And so she more recently went in and confronted officials on the corporate side of the New York Times company and said, what about this? Why should I be paying less? And even hired a lawyer to walk her through the implications of that. You know, the Times responded yesterday after this became public, the New Yorker and I were able to confirm this, that the Times said, look, her pension was smaller than Bill Keller's in part because his was built up over a lot more years of service at the New York Times. Pension is hitched to tenure there. And also they pointed out that pensions were frozen for all employees in 2009, so hers wasn't growing. You know, that said, one can understand an editor-in-chief feeling that whatever the various pools of compensation there are, somehow she shouldn't be in a lesser place than for a male, I think particularly for women who are the first to lead various companies, as she is the first to lead the Times newsroom. That's an issue of some import.
Well, but be clear, the pension is one thing, but what about the pay?
Well, you know, these are figures that are not public. On Twitter, a number of people reached out last night and said, well, what is it? You can get it. They're actually not listed in the SEC forms because the kinds of corporate officials who are listed publicly are those who are directly accountable to shareholders. And, of course, editors-in-chief are not. So these are figures we're still trying to get. You know, the Times basically is saying that there's not a significant difference or a meaningful difference between their compensation. But Abramson clearly felt otherwise.
Yeah. Well, but one question about pay would not result in somebody being fired in such a very public way. Nobody was trying to hide what was happening here. So what else is going on here?
Well, you know, there's really no bullet that caused this to occur. This was an accretion of things. You know, Arthur Sulzberger loved the idea in 2001 when Bill Keller decided to step down of hiring the first female editor-in-chief for the Times. He wasn't really that besotted with Jill Abramson herself, though. She's tough, blunt, direct. As you said, some have called her brusque. She doesn't have a lot of warm affirmation about her, and in fact has been working with a management coach on those very issues for the last few years of her tenure.
Well, hold on there a second, David, because I'm sure listeners are saying, wait a minute, tough, brusque. It's exactly what you'd want in somebody running a newsroom.
It might be what you want somebody running a newsroom, and it might also be a pain in the neck in the give and take of everyday management and everyday oversight. You know, the Times has gone through two wrenching important changes, and it's still sort of emerging from them. One is, you know, the financial crisis that battered the entire industry and the entire country and world. And the other is, you know, the real structural shifts that you're seeing in journalism and the need to segue to a more digital future, which is only accelerating. And those are requiring real cultural changes. So there may be the desire to have people who charismatically lead and persuade and encourage even as they're forcing these big changes. You know, there were a lot of buyouts and people forced out. She made a number of appointments that proved not to pan out either. And so, you know, Sulzberger may have had substantive reasons why he wasn't delighted by this. In addition, his CEO, Mark Thompson, whom he brought in, who had previously been the head of the BBC, she alienated him by disagreeing with his strategy for a digital future. He particularly wanted to emphasize the use of video for the Times and its ability to be shared virally. And she also had real wariness of his desire to create what we call, branded content, or you can call it bespoke content. But what it really is article-like content written on behalf of advertisers. And she was wary of this move in that direction. So, you know, she had this kind of personal poor fit with her big boss, Arthur Sulzberger, and she alienated the CEO, and that meant ultimately she didn't have a lot of support at top levels.
Well, as you well know, and we all were watching your Twitter feed last night, but others as well, social media afire, blogger Barbara Grufferman tweeting, too bossy pants for the Times, Megan Greenwell of ESPN Magazine tweeting, Jill Abramson was fired if she asked to be paid as much as her male predecessor, jaw on floor. So this has relaunched that anger over what some people see as just a different treatment of women in leadership roles.
Well, I think that's a fair question. You know, there was no reason for her to be shoved out so unceremoniously. You know, I've heard conflicting reports about whether or not she would be allowed to talk to the newsroom. She ultimately didn't appear, and whether that's by choice because she didn't want to seemed somehow to endorse what occurred or not. You know, when you have somebody who's pushed out by scandal as Howell Raines was as the top editor amid the Jason Blair plagiarism and fabrication case, you know, that's one thing. If you have Bill Keller taking a victory lap after many years of service to the Times, that's another. This seemed to be almost as though she was pushed out as though a scandal had occurred when in fact there had been conflict and tension at the top levels, not least which was the question of the future of her top deputy, the managing editor Terry Bacquet, very popular, not particularly digitally minded himself, but a champion of strong investigative and political journalism as she had been. Sulzberger loves the idea of him both because he's a great journalist and because he will become and has become the newspaper's first African-American editor-in-chief.
Well, and maybe we'll take a look at what that means down the road. NPR media correspondent David Folgenflik, thanks so much.
You bet.